Welcome to Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Wow, what an awesome job God did on worship this morning. Like we lose a projector and worship just goes to another level. I was saying to Hilt as I was down, as I was just taking in worship, that God placed on my heart to put my words down. So I've left my iPad down there. Yeah, I've got my Bible. We're going to go off scripture. I do have a little sermon outline which God placed on my heart. I'm going to try and follow that thing. But let's see where the Holy Spirit takes us and what the message is that God has in store for us. Before I start this morning, though, as Hilt said, we joined the church towards the end of last year in August. I've come from a place where I've been on leadership for 10 years, full-time for a couple of years, and we can sit down anytime over a cup of coffee and I'll give you the full story, but the bottom line is the Holy Spirit prompted me to get up and move, and I stepped out in faith that He was going to be taking me to a place of His grace, to where He wanted me to increase Him and point towards Him. So I just want to share with you a brief scripture that's on my heart and Andrew's heart for how we feel about the crossing. And when I talk about the crossing, I'm not talking about Brad or the eldership. I'm talking about each and every one of you and the amazing people that you are. So this comes from Ephesians 1, from verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about you and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in that to come. God placed all things under His feet, anointed Him to be head over everything for the church, that is you and me, which is the body and fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You guys mean the world to us. I just want to thank you for the welcome that we've received coming into the crossing. So in preparation for today, I went back and I listened to the sermons over the last 2 months. And we've had some powerful words of teaching, haven't we? I think it started with the Beatitudes as we started on this walk up the mountain. And Brad just opened our eyes to a new revelation of what it means to be meek and to be humble. And it all points towards Christ. John then spoke to us about being light and the type of light that we are to be, that we are to take His light out into the world. And sometimes there's an occasion to be a massive spotlight that just floods and highlights Jesus. And in other times, it's that warm bedside lamp that we just put an arm around somebody and love them. Hilton then came and spoke to us about being the vessel in which we distribute the salt. And that vessel changes all the time. That we need to be the vessel in season. We've had amazing ministry, haven't we? I've just been blown away seeing the Holy Spirit work at the end of meetings. How He has ministered to people. We've had testimonies of healing. We've had testimonies of people's lives changing. Jobs coming into people's lives. The Holy Spirit is going before us and just working in us. And then last week, Brad challenged us to be great in the kingdom of God, to walk in the inheritance of Jesus Christ, to walk in His righteousness. And this is a pivotal teaching. I'm going to dig more into this because God wants us to have an absolutely clear understanding of what He is talking about when He speaks about walking in righteousness and the necessity for that. It's a pivotal scripture. It's a pivotal teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has prepared us as disciples up to this point. He wants absolute clarity this morning. Because from here, We're going to get into some really, really tough stuff. We're going to speak about murder and divorce. We're going to speak about things that are really tough and really pertinent to us today. But Jesus just doesn't leave it at that. He takes that to a whole new level when he says, even if you just think angry thoughts towards someone else, you're committing murder already. And he's saying to us this morning, if we don't have a real understanding, a good grasp upon his righteousness, we are not going to be able to continue in this teaching. He doesn't want to leave us in any doubt this morning of when we walk out of here, what it means to walk in his righteousness. But it's more than understanding. It's much more than that. That's it. It's about living it out in the world. That's tough. Yeah? Yeah? I think in here it's awesome. Hey? Guys love you, yeah. They extend you grace. When you stuff it up, I go, "Jeez, Chris, I'm sorry. I made a mess of that. The oak loves me." He goes, "It's all right, but don't worry." Yo, but out there, different story. In our boardrooms, in our bedrooms, sure. We go out and we work in a place where corruption is normal, where backstabbing and fighting to get ahead is just part of it. We have to drive to achieve everything, scratch tooth and nail just to provide for our families. Families are being torn apart, ripped apart at the seams. We face the real reality of being called hypocrites when we fall just that little bit short of God's word. We feel alone sometimes. What about you guys? It's when you're just facing these things that get thrown at you. And I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on in your lives. But it's tough. And there's times when I'm facing my biggest challenges that I think it's not fair. Like, I've got the God of creation on my side. Yeah? I mean, I walk in Jesus' light. Should it be this tough? Come on, Lord. I'm going to check God's heart on this morning. But before I do that, I just want to make sure we're pointing to where we should. A little bit slower when you're doing it manually, so please extend me some grace. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Right now at the outset, I just want to take a moment out to ensure that we're pointing everything that is said and done here this morning towards Jesus Christ. Any glory, anything that comes out of my mouth is purely for him and for him alone. Lord Jesus, we just hand you over this meeting right now. You are the Lord who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever see or conceive, more than our minds can even grasp, Lord Jesus. And we come here this morning and we come with the baggage of the world which we are living in. And Lord, we just know you have the power to do immeasurably more than we think in any situation. So, Lord Jesus, we just open up our hearts to you this morning. We open up our lives to you. We place it before you. We hand it over. In Jesus' name. Amen. We good to go? Okay, let's take a look at this. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Joshua 1 for me. I'll give you a minute. So, Joshua 1. 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. I could put the mic down now and walk away just on that alone. But God gave me so much more. So, let's dig into this thing. Joshua, he steps onto the pages of history as the Israelites are moving out of Egypt. They come into the desert. They've been liberated from the Egyptians behind them. And as is the Israelites' lot, they walk into the desert. What happens? The army of the Amalekites comes out to face them. This stage, Moses is an old man. And he turns around, prompted by God, looking for a leader who will go before the army and go out to fight the Amalekites. He turns to Joshua and appoints him as leader of the Israelite army. Joshua goes out into battle against the Amalekites. And scripture tells us that that day, the battle was won by the sword of Joshua. Joshua's life is just accelerated from there. He moves into Moses and becomes his minister. And the word minister is to mean servant. And he serves Moses. He walks in his shadow and walks next to him. We read of an account of Moses going up Mount Sinai to get the tablets the first time. Joshua goes with him. He comes back down and he sees what the Israelites have done. We read of Joshua going into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, into the tent. Moses is talking with God and God instructs Moses what to do. Moses leaves. Joshua remains behind in God's presence. We know Joshua was one of the spies who went into the promised land and came back and said, guys, there are cities and walls and armies, and they are going to fight tooth and nail for this place. But God will prevail in this place. Joshua was anointed in Moses' later years to take over the Israelite people and lead that nation. God anointed him to lead them into the promised land. What an amazing anointing on this man's life. What a leader. Yet when we come to Joshua 1, we find this man of stature. This man who's led 3 million people through the desert with their cattle and their tents and everything else. Fought armies left and right. We find him sitting on the banks of the River Jordan. He's probably spent about 2 months there, a month in mourning and a month of inaction. And he's just sitting there looking into the promised land, looking into the inheritance God has placed before him, and he's frozen. And I wonder what's going through his mind at that time. Fear. He just looks at the cities ahead of him, those walls around Jericho. How do you surmount that? The well-groomed armies, the land of giants. This is what he's facing. I wonder whether he felt the weight of expectation upon him. The expectation of the people to lead them into this land. The expectation of God to live out his righteousness in this land. But I want you to check God's heart on this. Because God sees Joshua in this place. And he comes and he wraps his arm around him and he ministers to him. He starts off by saying, and it's only the heart of a father that can do this. He says to him, Joshua, wherever you set your foot, I will give you. It's all about action. God wants to work with us, as God wanted to work with Joshua. But he cannot do it while we are sitting down. God said to Joshua, all you need to do is step out. Once you step out, once your foot lands, that is the place I will give to you. Step out in faith. Trust in me. That first step is the hardest. I'll tell you a story of a man and his little boy during World War II. This man had lost his wife to a bombing raid. And he was lying in his house, in his bed. And he was awoken during the night. And he realized a bombing raid was coming over the top. He immediately ran to his little boy and scooped him up in his arms and ran for the door and threw it open. And as he looked up, the sky was bright red. Fires were raging around. The sound of the bombers was coming in and the bombs was going off in the background. Smoke was just drifting across. And he realized in that moment that he was never going to make it to the shelter with his little boy. So he ran towards a crater in his garden from the previous bombing raid. He puts his little boy on the side and he climbs in. And he says, "Jump." And the little boy is standing on the side of this crater. And the bombs are going off around him. And the sky is bright red and the smoke is coming across and it's dark. And he looks down and he says, "Daddy, I can't see you." And his dad says to him, "That's all right, because I can see you." Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever uncertainties life is throwing at you, whatever difficulties, whatever storms, whatever giants you are facing this morning, God is saying to you, take the first step. Step out. I will meet you there. I know where your foot will be placed. He goes on to tell Joshua, "I will be with you. Be strong and courageous." Now, I don't know about you, but when the Lord of all creation, stars, the universe, to the smallest thing in the garden says, "Be strong and courageous," it's because you need to be. God doesn't say, "I'm going to take away the stuff of this world." He doesn't say, "I'm going to take away your hurt and your pain." He doesn't say, "I'm going to fix that thing for you and just make things run smooth." What he promises is that I will be with you whatever you are going to face. And how does that ring so true with the message of Jesus? Matthew 28:20, I'm not even going to try and dig it out now. It says, "And surely I will be with you even until the end of the age." Jesus just says, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you face, no matter how low you go, when your hand is in mine, I will walk with you. You will not face these things alone. I love you. God goes on to tell him, keep this book of the law, this thing, keep this book of the law on your lips, meditate on it day and night. Now we know what God was saying to Joshua here. He was saying to him, you guys have messed this thing up. Okay? Sin, rebellion, turning your back on me. All those things I can't be in the presence of. But I want more than anything else to be in a relationship with you. All I need you to do is this. Keep this law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Stay focused on this and I will be in covenant with you. That's old covenant, yeah? Doesn't apply to us. My eyes were open this week. A friend of mine, during a prayer meeting, opened my eyes to the power of the scripture. He says to him, keep this book of the law on your lips. What is this? Bible, the word of God. John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the word. Word was with God and is God and is Jesus Christ. Then in John 14, I actually want to skip to that so we can actually dig into this. John 1:14, this is power. I don't want to miss this. Right, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and of truth. What we take out of this is God is saying to us, if you want to love me, if you want to be in relationship with me, then you need to keep Jesus on your lips. You need to meditate on Jesus all the time. Our focus needs to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There can be no other way. God says, I long to be in a relationship with you. I will give you every place you set your foot. When you step out, I will be with you. All I require in return is that you love me. Keep Jesus on your lips. Meditate on Him. Yes, and this just, it just brings me to the heart of God. He wants a relationship with us, with me and you. Doesn't matter what happened. And we know the stories here. I mean, the whole of the Old Testament. God gave them the law, the Israelites failed. God forgave them. God gave them the law, the Israelites failed. God forgave them. God gave them the law, they failed. God forgave them. We read of leaders throughout the Old Testament. Powerful leaders who walked with God, falling short continually. Until God's heart broke. Until His love for us could take it no more. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that moment must have been like? When God looked into the eyes of His Son and said to Him, I need you to go and finish this. I love them so much. I need you to be sacrificed for them. Jesus took off His robes of glory and came and lived amongst us, walked with us. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying so hard to His dad that blood was coming down the side of His face. And He prayed for His dad to take this cup from Him because He knew what was to come. God's love for you caused Him to stay quiet. And Jesus said, not your will, but mine. When Jesus hung on the cross, my sin, He bore on His shoulders. The sin of humanity. And He cried out to His dad, I said, Dad, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why can I not see you? God had turned His back on His Son because He loves you that much. So I don't want to move on from here. I do not want to move on from here. If there is one person in this place who does not know Jesus Christ, if you do not know His love and His forgiveness, if you're in a place this morning where you don't know Jesus and you want to accept His sacrifice, you want to accept His love, will you just raise your hand? And if there's anyone here this morning, if God's knocking on your heart this morning and He's saying, I just want to come in, don't let my Son's sacrifice be in vain. If that is you this morning, just put your hand up. Let us pray with you. I get excited by the fact when I'm sitting in a room full of believers, because from here on in it gets tough. Let's get into our key scripture for this morning. We're going to Matthew 5, verse 17 through 20. The fulfillment of the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches the others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's in the light of God's love for us. It's in the light of His sacrifice of His Son that we need to read this scripture. Jesus restored us to God. Jesus' sacrifice healed that broken relationship. We read in verse 19, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Fulfillment of the law is not about getting into heaven. Jesus didn't even reference that. He just said that you're in. When you call out on the name of Jesus, we are in the kingdom of heaven. That's it. Taken, done, and dusted. We have His righteousness. That is the righteousness we have to walk in. He said this is not about a heaven and hell. It's bigger than that for us as Christians. This is about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The same grace that saved us is the same grace that is prompting us to move from a worldly, sinful life into one of grace. We want to follow the word and the law in the Bible to be in a stronger and better relationship with God. Walk in His righteousness. Deepen the relationship. This is not foreign to us. I mean, we do this every day with our spouses, husbands and wives. I know what Andrea likes. I know what she enjoys. I know how to make our relationship better. I listen to her. What makes... Sometimes. I love you. I know, for example, in the evening when I get up and I've had a cup of coffee and I've left my mug on the table, I get up and I walk away and I put it in the sink. When I walk to bed, I make sure all the doors are locked because she feels safe. When I climb into bed, and I don't know about you guys, I've got thousands of pillows on my bed. She likes it when she arrives that there's nothing, even though she put them there. But I take everyone off of the bed so that she has a place where she can come and climb into. But why do I do this thing? Because I love her, because that is what she wants from me, to show her that I love her. It's that simple. God is saying to us, it's not about relationship. I've done that thing. But I want our relationship to deepen and to grow. Therefore, I need you to do these things so that you can be drawn closer to me. But that's difficult. This is a big book. And there'd be plenty of laws in here. I heard it said like 6,000 laws, Old Testament alone. I mean, how do we ever hope to achieve all of that? To walk in that righteousness? We're like, what? We'd spend our whole day. We'd end up like the Pharisees. I was sharing with Life Group on Wednesday. You know what? The Pharisees get a bum rap. Okay, they were misguided in terms of salvation. But those guys knew how to do this thing. They got to such a point where they didn't interact with people. Because you know what, if I interacted with you, I might just break a law somewhere in there. So it's easier if I just walk in my own bubble and don't worry about anybody else and just live out the law. There's no ways. We agree? I mean, Brad spoke to us last week. He said there's three types of law in here. Governmental law, so the law to govern Israel. Religious law, how to get close to God. And then all of that is summed up in the, just a question, do anyone remember from last week? Check. Moral law. The heart behind the law. I think the heart behind the law can be summed up for me in one scripture. Go God. Let's open this right on the right page. Matthew 22, 37. I'll give you a minute. Because this is critical into grasping what God is on about when he speaks about walking in righteousness. Okay, Matthew 22, 37. The Pharisees have basically got together and have questioned Jesus. These are the guys who know the law backwards. Okay, these are the guys who've just, their entire lives have invested to knowing every word in the written scripture. They say to Jesus, Jesus, check you. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus' response to them is not any of the civil or any of the religious, but he goes straight to the heart of the Bible. And he says to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, all the prophets, everything in this book hangs on those two commandments. God says, get those two things right. Jesus says, sort these things out. Love God, love your neighbor. You got the heart of what's going on in the Bible. The rest will work out. Get that right. How do we love God? I love God this morning in worship. I don't know about you guys. Hey? We love God when we're in the Word. I just want to hark back to Joshua. What did God say to him? As he says to us, keep Jesus on your lips. Meditate on Jesus all the time. And you will show me your love. To show the Father our love, we need to make much of the Son. And his sacrifice. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus, to know him, and then to make him known. Love your neighbor. And I'm not talking about going out and grabbing a coffee with a mate, putting an arm around and loving him. I'm not talking about investing time. It's just so much more than that. We're called to love our neighbors as Christ loved them. And to understand the depth of Christ's love for people, we only need to take a look at his last words. Matthew 28:19. He knows he's leaving his disciples, and he wants to impart on them the most important message. He wants to impart on them his heart. So he says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So God has just given me all authority. And because I know everything, and everything is under my control and my dominion, here's what I'm telling you to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and then surely I will be with you even until the end of days. Jesus' heart is for the lost. Jesus' heart is that everyone should come to know the Father through him. We're to shine the light of Christ into people's lives. We're to be the vessel in which the salt is delivered. So what do the disciples do? Jesus commands them, I want you to go out. Let's check the heart of the disciples here. I just love working with paper. Mark 16. Last verse, verse 20. So Jesus has said to them, listen, I love people. I want you to go out and I want you to tell them about me so that they can be saved and have a loving relationship with God. So what do disciples do? Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs and wonders that accompanied it. The disciples' heart was to obey Jesus. The disciples' heart was to pick up what he had commanded them to do. And that needs to be our heart, to love our neighbors. They went out everywhere and preached. You can't get around this thing. They didn't go out and speak to guys about random stuff. They went out and they preached the good news of Jesus Christ. Everywhere they went. It didn't say, well, we don't talk about that at work because that's not PC. It didn't say, well, don't talk about it with your non-believing father because you know what, you might get into a family argument. It said they went and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. Everywhere they stepped their foot, every place they went, be strong and courageous, and he led them out. We are God's salvation plan. We are the vessels to bring salt and light to our family, to our friends, to our communities, to Johannesburg, to South Africa, to the nations. God has no other plan. It's you. We need to be bold. We need to take that first step. We need to step out in faith and in strength and in courage. While Moses sat in the desert, God could do nothing with him. While David was in the lines of the Israelite armies, God could do nothing with him. It was only when he stepped out to face Goliath could God manifest his power within him. Amen. Daniel, when he stood outside the lion's den, could make no difference. When Peter was in the boat, God couldn't show his power. And only when Jesus chose to hang on the cross could he bring about our salvation. This morning, we need to be strong and courageous. We are going to face difficult times. I'm not going to try and imagine what you guys are going through. What are some of the storms and giants that are in your life? But right now, God is saying to you, you need to be strong and courageous. We cannot allow circumstance to prevail over the will of God. We need to walk in his righteousness and in his power. That same power that God exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. That is not a power of being timid. It's not a power of shying away. It's not power of backing down. It's a power to be bold. It's a power to walk out and step out courageously and in strength, knowing that wherever you set your foot, that is where Jesus will be. Will you step out? Let's pray.